Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. And this is a portion of our Lord's high priestly prayer, and is often believed to have been the prayer that he prayed in Gethsemane the night before his death. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." When you filled out your application to come to Bethany College a year or many years ago, there was a line on there that asked you to put down the name of your local newspaper. The purpose of that request was just in case you did something on our campus that was of great note, that should be reported back to your local community. Not your parking violations, but anything that maybe you did in theater or the arts or athletics or whatever it might be. Once in a while, things get reported back like that, and it reaches quite an audience. Occasionally, there are things that happen on this campus that reach even a national audience and draw some national attention. And just about every year we have something like that from our student body. And it's always fun when we see that and note that. In the words of our text today, look at the beginning line once again. And note that a reference has been made to you, which has been reported for all times in the pages of Holy Scripture. Look at Jesus' words again. "I do not pray for these alone," meaning his apostles, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." You have been mentioned and spoken of in Scripture. This isn't the only place. Not only that, think about this, that just hours before his death on the cross, when he would suffer the great torture and penalty for our sin, who is on his heart and mind? Who does the Son of God have on his very heart as he approaches that great sacrifice? You. What a privilege to think that God himself, the second person of the Trinity, is praying to his heavenly Father just hours before the most significant event in history, that he is praying to his Father about you and about your future. During this week, you will notice in our readings and hymns and so on, this is a time when we focus on the special work of Christ as our high priest. And historically, the church took this time right before Holy Week was coming and so on to think about and contemplate the great work that Christ would come to do as our mediator and high priest before the throne of God. Well, why do I need somebody to mediate between me and God? Why do I need someone to stand up in front of God on my behalf? Why is that necessary? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Back then, the scripture describes it, there was a perfect world without any sin. And humanity, Adam and Eve, our first parents, had this complete harmony and unity with God in their mind and thoughts and hearts. Their consciences were completely in line with the will of God. Everything that they thought and said and did fit exactly what God would have wanted as they lived out having been created perfectly by him in that image of God. And they could communicate perfectly and directly with him. What an amazing thing it must have been to live in Eden in that state. And all of us as little children, when we would hear the story of our first parents and so on, and what that perfect world was like, we'd often have those thoughts. I wonder what that was like. It's really hard for us to envision, isn't it? That they could be perfect and that the world they lived in was absolutely perfect. But boy, do we see a drastic change after the fall into sin. In particular with our first parents. how dramatically their relationship to God changes. All of a sudden, they're trying to hide in the bushes. I wonder what that shrub was, the first shrub that they tried to hide behind, as if that was somehow going to shield them from God. And what kind of thoughts were racing through their mind? What kind of fear and intimidation now that they knew in their own conscience? He hadn't even talked to them yet. But now that they knew inside of their own hearts and consciences what they had done wrong before God, that same sense of guilt and shame that we can feel even today. And what kind of terror and fear that they suddenly had about having to face him, and how they tried to avoid him. And when he finally confronts him, how they tried to get out of it, and how they shift the blame and get around it and so on. This barrier that suddenly had been created between them and God certainly hadn't come from God's side of the equation. It came from our side of the equation. And the barrier that we still feel between us and God, this sense of awe and fear and so on, and just kind of insecurity about having to face him, that's still because of the problems on our side of the equation. And from that point on in the Bible, from Adam and Eve on, as they're expelled from Eden, all of the times when man gets tiny little opportunities to have a glimpse with God, or to little run-ins with God, or times when God comes in a little bit more bold way to show himself, there is just terror in the heart of man. In fact, it's such a frightening thing to be in the presence of a holy God when we're sinful that even when he sends one of his angels, people freak out. People are terrified and drop to the ground. And then when we think about Judgment Day, in my Romans class, first day of class, I hand out a little evaluation. I ask the students to fill it out anonymously. And on there, I put down at the last thing, what is one question you would like to have answered while taking this course? This is a great one. Maybe one of you wrote it. Why, if I'm a Christian, does eternity still terrify me? Yeah. If I'm a Christian, why am I still so afraid about facing God and what's going to happen after I leave this life? This is why we need a mediator. This is why we need to have someone that can go before the holiness of God on our behalf and be able to stand up to that. You know, when you think about the role of the high priest pictured there on the front of our bulletins for today, it's kind of an unfamiliar thing to us, isn't it? Maybe the only time we think about it is if we see something in a Bible story book or hear one of the Old Testament stories. But if you lived before the time of Christ in the Old Testament era, boy, the role of a high priest, you'd know who that was, and you knew what he did and all of the bloody sacrifice that he would oversee in the temple grounds and so on. But why is this position so bizarre and unfamiliar to us? Well, this is why. The one great high priest that all of these previous high priests were pointing to, the one great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, has come to finally, ultimately fulfill what they were just foreshadowing. He has now embodied, and by going to the cross, has performed the one great sacrifice, the only one that really needed to be done, that all those animals were pointing to. He now has fulfilled that work in himself once and for all. And so we no longer need that role of these earthly high priests, because now Christ is established as the one mediator between God and man. And he even stands right now before the throne of the Father, talking to him, speaking to him, pleading your cause and your case, so that the day of Judgment Day that's coming for each one of us doesn't have to be intimidating. We might still think it is. But because of what Christ has done for each one of you, we no longer need to feel that intimidation. He has come to establish peace with God. And we don't always feel like it's there, but God just wants us to know it's already been done. It's already been accomplished. There's no reason to be afraid. Only one could break through that immense wall that our sin had created, and that work is now accomplished. It took an agent of divine origin and yet of our human flesh to pull it off. There's a great statement from one of the early church fathers in the 400s, a pastor in North Egypt, and he wrote this, Cyril, he wrote this. I love this line. Thinking again about Eden. The Son of God joined our nature to himself so that he might restore it to its original beauty. That's what this is all about. That you and I might be restored before God into the original beauty that he created us and get to experience what Eden was all about. Your high priest has come to give you Eden back. And that's why your name is on his heart and on his lips before the throne of the Father. And so may his name also be on our lips. Worship, honor, power, and blessing. He is worthy to receive. Amen.